Today I've come to my hometown of Bury in Lancashire. Located within easy reach of the city of Manchester, and on its doorstep there is the most beautiful countryside. At the moment I'm stood next to the statue of Sir Robert Peel. We will discover more about him a little bit later on. The name Bury was first recorded in 1194 as Byrie, a Saxon word meaning the place by the fort or stronghold, and later this became Byring. In ancient times, it is believed that this area was probably covered in marsh and woodland, and inhabited by nomadic herdsmen. Bury became a textile centre when wool weaving was introduced by Flemish immigrants in the middle of the 14th century. Then, at the beginning of the 18th century, a man called John Kay, born here in Bury, developed the flying shuttle and revolutionised cotton weaving into a mechanised industrial process. Bury has also long prospered from a wealthy papermaking industry, which although has now declined, still survives. Bury has a football team in the second division, who are famous for winning the FA Cup in the early 20th century by the biggest goal margin of 6-0. It is also the birthplace of comedienne Victoria Wood. But what other poignant features does Bury have that make it the flourishing town it is today? Join me as I explore what Bury is renowned for. I'm now stood in the thriving heart of Bury, in the hustle and bustle of its world-famous market that opens its doors to shoppers from far and wide every Wednesday, Friday and Saturday. I remember coming here as a child when my favourite activity was going for a ride on the roundabout, and you can hear the bell in the background because it's still here today. Afterwards, I would get to eat new potatoes that came from a paper bag smothered with salt and warm melting butter. Well, this morning all the various stores have been set up, including the traditional ones selling fruit and veg. It's a bright, sunny but cold day, which is just right to attract those shoppers. I'm here to talk to the store that sells Bury's notorious black pudding. Can you tell me your name and the name of the company?
Yeah, I'm Debbie Pierce. The name of the stall is James Wallace Farm Produce, but we actually have a company called the Bury Black Pudding Company as well. Black puddings originally came from France years and years ago, and they came over to England via some European monks who first came over to Yorkshire, and then they came over the Pennines and finally settled in Bury. I mean, since then it's always been a Bury delicacy, and Bury's famous for black pudding, but it's got a real, like old traditional food at the moment, it's just had a real renaissance, and it's on the menu of a lot of top restaurants right now, and all the old fashioned food is coming back, and it's just enjoying a real good spell of popularity for the last few years, and it's getting stronger and stronger.
Most people might know what Bury black pudding's made of, but for those who don't, could you tell us the process of how it's made?
Well, there's actually no meat content apart from the fat. We actually make ours with dried pig's blood now. We used to be fresh blood years ago, but it's getting more and more difficult to get hold of. So we use a dry mix. We literally just mix that with water, pearl barley, wheat flour. Every different manufacturer has its own special mix of herbs and spices, which we all keep them secret. It's all natural ingredients, there's no additives or anything like that.
How are they normally cooked, and what would you normally suggest that they're served with?
You can either slice them up and fry or grill them on your breakfast, or if you're having it on a starter or a main meal, the easiest way is to simmer it in water for about 8 to 10 minutes. Usually served with mustard, but if you look around the internet there's some really quite interesting recipes now for black pudding.
What's the clientele that you think you sell to?
My production team back in Farnworth, we produce 5,000 tonnes a week, which is about 25,000 black puddings a week. It is geared, probably used to be geared towards more of the older generation, but at the moment it's just, we can't really pinpoint a generation at the moment. It's a lot more young people eating it now. We have a website where we send them all over the UK. Probably 80-90% of our customers from down south, because they just can't get hold of a decent black pudding. They don't really make it the traditional way anywhere else except in this area. So we do very well with the website, which we set up because of the market stall. People coming from all over, taking bags full of black pudding to their relatives or to their friends all over the country, and we thought, well, why don't we provide that service?
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm now here at the East Lancashire Railway, where the steam train has just pulled in. The line was originally opened in 1846 to link the Manchester and Bolton line. It was very popular in its day, both as a freight route and with passengers serving the Irwell Valley from Bury out to Rawtenstall. 1972 saw the last journey on this section, but with help from the East Lancashire Preservation Society, the line was reopened some years ago and now gives passengers the pleasure of riding by steam train once again.
My name's Roger, this is the East Lancashire Railway. The East Lancashire Railway as a Preservation Society took over when BR closed the line. Trust bought it and we have got on a peppercorn rent. And that's how it's built its way up from that. We opened the railway in 1987 as far as Ramsbottom. And then we extended it in 1992 or else three, I think, up to Rawtenstall. And then we just opened last year to Heywood. We have things like Thomas, we have driver experience courses, we have Santa specials, we have wine and dine trains in the evening. It's for everybody, really. The railway itself is run with all of the enthusiasts.
I'm Peter, I'm the station master on Saturdays on the East Lancashire Railway. But other times, with all being volunteers, we take other jobs on. I take guarding on. If we're short of guards, I step into the guarding. If we're short of a TTI, which is a ticket inspector, I step into that. Right? And that's what all the volunteers tend to do. They can step into other duties to keep the railway going. That's what it is mainly. So you've got them men down there now. All them men working on the line down there are volunteers. Every one of them. They all have their own jobs all through the week too. At the end of the day, I come here because I enjoy it. I mean, this morning, I've been since 5:30 this morning, getting it ready for running, because we run proper passenger services every Saturday and Sunday. Then in the summertime, we're running more or less all through the week. But normally on a Saturday, when the first trains come in, they're full of women because the shoppers use it, come into Bury, because Bury is an ideal market town, it's brilliant.
I have now made the climb up to the top of Holcombe Hill. From up here I can see the villages below me. There's fields of green and there's smoke coming out of chimneys reminiscent of Bury's industrial times. It is extremely windy up here and quite deserted, with only the occasional few people either walking up here or coming up on bikes for a morning stroll. It is said on an excellent sunny day, not only can you see views of Manchester and Cheshire, but you can also see as far as the hills of North Wales. I have come up here to visit Peel Tower, the second monument and a local landmark that commemorates the life of Sir Robert Peel. It was opened on the 9th of September 1852 to a cost of £1,000 of publicly raised money, and is made from stone quarried from the hill itself and stands 128 feet tall. Sir Robert Peel was born on the 5th of February 1788 at Chamber Hall in Bury. He was the first son of a cotton manufacturer, Robert Senior and Ellen Peel. He was educated at Harrow and Christ Church in Oxford and joined Parliament at the age of 21. In 1834, he became Prime Minister in a minority Conservative government and was later defeated. He again became Prime Minister in 1841, and in 1845, when the Irish potato famine began, his popularity grew as he repealed the Corn Laws that allowed the working class to enjoy cheaper food. But it is his time as Home Secretary that Robert Peel will be best remembered for. His Metropolitan Police Act that was passed formed the modern police force. British policemen became known as Peelers and are still affectionately called Bobbies today. Sir Robert Peel died on the 2nd of July 1850 after falling from his horse in Hyde Park, London. So now hopefully, through my journey at the market, the East Lancashire Railway and up here at Peel Tower, I have given you an insight into my hometown and revealed some of its hidden treasures. This has been Siobhan Ashburn in Bury, Lancashire.